Hey folks, Dan from the Holy Spirit Soapbox. I hope you're feeling blessed today. Hey, first off, I want to say thank you for everybody that listens, everybody that's praying for this podcast. We pray that you can continue to be blessed by it. If you could do us a favor, if you want to go ahead and subscribe to us on one of your favorite podcast apps, that would be amazing. If you can also drop us, you know, some 5-star likes, that would be really helpful too. This helps us get out to more people. That is what we're trying to do. That is the goal of Holy Spirit Soapbox. We want to get to every corner or end of the earth, every end of the earth, so that we can reach everybody with the gospel. And most importantly, please go ahead and tell people about Jesus Christ today and live it out, right? And we're going to get into that a little bit more today, but I want to first ask the question, what do people think of when they think of you knowing you're a Christian, if you're a Christian? I know it's a very self-seeking question and possibly one that you might feel a little awkward with, but let me explain, okay? Wherever you are in the world, I'm sure you can think of a few brands of items that tend to represent a whole type of product. Okay, so for instance, here in the United States, someone might say, hey, can you grab me a Kleenex? I need to blow my nose. Can you grab me a Kleenex? Kleenex is actually a brand created by a company where you're actually looking for a tissue to blow your nose. Or maybe it could be a piece of toilet paper. It doesn't matter. It could be a store brand type of tissue or a napkin or a sleeve, I guess, right? It doesn't necessarily have to be a tissue that is a Kleenex. Or let's do another one. Someone might say, I need some chapstick, when they actually just need lip balm. It's almost like these brands represent the entire type of product you're looking for because they've made this household name for themselves. They're used everywhere. Everybody knows what they are. They're known to be the brand for that type of product that you need. Now, disclaimer, we're not partnered with either of these brands, okay? I just want to let you all know that. No, but this phenomenon here where we directly attribute a brand name to a product or general class of items is called a proprietary eponym. A proprietary eponym. I hope I taught you something today. There you go, right? Let's go back to my first question, though, okay? Of what do people think of when they think of you? Or what do people think of when they think of you as a Christian? Now let's apply that question to all Christians or all Christ followers. Let's ask a new question. What do non-believers think of when they think of us Christ followers? What do you think people would say? I'm curious. There's some people that call Christians bad names. It's actually in Acts, okay? In Acts, Christian was a derogatory term. In that time period, I shouldn't say in Acts, but in the time period of Acts, Christian was a derogatory term. And they just kind of were like, yeah, I'll take that. Heck yeah. I am a Christ follower. Call me a Christian. That's great. Now, nowadays, it's becoming kind of a derogatory term in some ways. There are some people that are just very upset with Christians. Now, there are countless reasons, political reasons, personal reasons, whatever other reasons that are out there that people might figure that Christians are not good people. But there's a reason for that. You know, when Jesus Christ walked the earth, many folks who were followers of him would probably describe him as love. I don't care if they were followers of him, actually. They probably would be like, wow, that guy's pretty good, man. He's kind of a nice guy. He's healing people. Wow. He's showing us what love is. Jesus would be the brand here, and love would be the general product. Jesus is the brand, and Christ followers would be the ones who fall under Jesus. Now, if someone was to look at us and define love or define what good is, we would want them to say Jesus and his followers, wouldn't we? I would. That's what we strive for. We've talked about being an ambassador for Christ, and we need to represent the kingdom well. Now, Jesus is the kingdom. Jesus is the kingdom. That is something that we have to remember. We need to represent Jesus well, who represents the kingdom. He is the kingdom and he represents the kingdom. We need to allow the Spirit to work in us to show the world who God is, so that everyone can directly attribute love to God. Now, people will then see that God equals love, and that wherever love is, God is there. On the contrary here, right, if we go around yelling at people or condemning people, would that be something people would describe as love, right? And this is probably what is going on with why people don't directly attribute Christians to love. Now, that's a portion of it. Again, everything comes back to self. When there are quarrels, when there are fights, when there are divisions, it all comes back to self, because nothing about the kingdom, nothing about heaven is divisive. It is not divided there. And when we all go to heaven, it will not be divided. We will be unified under God. Yes, okay? We might be angry and frustrated because we love someone so much that we want them to find Jesus. So we start like condemning them, or we start, you're going to this place of fire, right? That's where you're going. You stink, right? We say that stuff, but that's not our job. That's not our job to do. Our job, which isn't even a job, but a transformation of who we are internally that now shows externally, is to love them as Jesus loved them. And to love them as Jesus loves you and I. That's what it is. Love God first, and then love people. And when you love God first, transformation happens, and then you start to love people. Okay, here we go. Let's look at the following passages in 1 John chapter 3. Okay, so I'm in the Bible here, in the New Testament, 1 John chapter 3. If you have your Bible, let's read along here if you can and it's safe to do so. Now, I'm going to go into 16 to 18. We're jumping right down to 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 to 18. Say this: by this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers and sisters. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, or sister in need, yet closes his heart against them, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. Now, at the beginning of this chapter, John is telling everyone that believes in Christ that we are children of God, period. Everybody that believes in Christ is a child of God. We're born again into the family of God, and that lawlessness is not in our nature anymore because we're transformed. Now, in these verses I just read, he's emphasizing that the internal transformation translates to the outwards loving deeds that we do. Okay? We do not hate, we do not condemn, but we love. That's what we do. Now, there is a difference between love and acceptance. We're not going to go over that today, but we love. We lay down our lives. We help people, even if they hate us or we, for some reason, don't like them. If there's some kind of division between us, doesn't matter. We should lay down our lives for them just like Jesus laid down his life for everybody. Okay, now, verses 19 to 24 says this: by this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God, and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. The Spirit compelled me to strategically place this episode here, okay? As we're coming up on this identity series, I know we keep playing it up and you're like, come on, where is it? Like, why do you keep playing this thing up? I'm playing it up because it's huge. It's going to totally sculpt everything. And I'm playing it up once more. I'm sorry. It's coming soon. I promise you. But this is why this is placed here today, this proprietary eponym episode. Because we want to talk about how God works in us and through us, okay? And that's going to lead more into the identity of us. Now, verse 24 emphasizes who of those has God in them. Verse 24 emphasizes who of those has God in them. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God, and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. Now, as humans, we completely have skewed what love really is. And I blame, who is it, Hathaway? I'm sorry. Was in the 1990s, what is love? I blame them, okay? No, I'm just kidding. I love that song. We have skewed what love really is, okay? We plan to talk about this in the future, but God equals love. So everything that is not of God or not explained by God as good and is not love. God equals love. Even better, God equals unconditional love, meaning love would not exist without God. Period. He is the author of love. And now that it just scrambled your brain into a bunch of scrambled eggs, the difference between one who does not fully surrender themselves to God will not show unconditional love, nor will they show these commandments. They will not do these commandments, these deeds that he's talking about. There's so many other things that show unconditional love, right? There are ways that we can kind of show unconditional love. But the inner transformation of completely denying oneself and then continuously seeking the kingdom or Jesus will lead us all to all following Christ more accurately. We have to deny ourselves. We have to deny ourselves and be of Christ, having God live in us to work his Spirit through us, inward transformation, and then outward in deeds. This is really important because we want to be the ones that represent love. We Christians should be representing love because God equals love. That we shouldn't be representing anything else. It shouldn't be a political party. It shouldn't be a baseball team. It shouldn't be, you know, the type of food you eat. It shouldn't be the type of car you drive. It shouldn't be the comma after your name for your job title. It shouldn't be any of that stuff. We should be representing the kingdom. We should be representing the kingdom, which equals love and unity. And again, yes, there's a difference between accepting something and love. Now, I love what Jason Quering here says. He's at Greenhouse Community Church, which I do attend frequently now, and I have done a sermon there and will be doing another sermon in the near future. But I love what Jason says, right? Jason says this. He says, if God says that something is incorrect, something is wrong, something is sinful, I love you too much for you to be staying in that sin, for you to be staying in that identity or whatever it is that's causing you to orient away from God. I'd love that because it's true. There's a difference between acceptance and love, but what we should do is we should read up on Jesus, read up on those disciples that follow Jesus and try to give their lives totally to Christ for us to understand what love really means. Read the entire Bible, right? To understand that God equals love and what love really means. Now, I have some verses to meditate on. Here we go. The first one is John 14:10. So this is the Gospel of John. The other one was a letter that was in 1 John, but now this is the Gospel of John, or according to John. It says, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. God does the work in us and through us. This is Jesus speaking of God's Spirit continuously working through him to show who God is. Well, hold on, wait a minute. I thought he was part of the Trinity. He is. They all work together. God, how do I put this? His seed went into Mary. Essentially, his Spirit came down onto Mary to create Jesus as 100% human and 100% God. The Spirit was living in Jesus. Okay, so that's why he was able to have this authority. He is God. Now, we're able to see what the kingdom looks like when we look at Jesus. Again, Jesus is the kingdom. He represented the kingdom the best And in order for us to represent the kingdom, he has to work in us and through us with his spirit. Because we seek self, though, we cannot reflect the kingdom accurately. When we seek self, we block the spirit. When we increase, he decreases in us because we make him decrease in us. He wants to increase, so we have to decrease. Okay, second set of verses here, Philippians chapter 2, verses 13 through 16. They say this, "For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I'll be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain." Paul is talking to the Philippians here, where he explains to us that none of these things are in the kingdom. None of these things, grumbling or arguing and other things that are not blameless and pure, are not in the kingdom. In order to not show these things, including those that are not fruits of the Spirit, we talk about all the time, God works in us all to fulfill his good purpose. So let that Spirit work in you. The only way to do that is to attach to the true vine of Jesus, is to have God abide in you and you in him, meaning you have to decrease. I have to decrease. We humans have to decrease. We have to completely empty all the pride and all that stuff that we are vessels for Christ. We are vessels for God. We want to represent the kingdom of God. And that's how we can accurately portray love. And hopefully, people will be like, wow, that's okay. What is love? Here we go with the song. What is love? Okay. No. What is love? Well, love is Jesus. Love is God. Well, how do you know? Because his followers show us that. So it's almost like, and say, hey, can you hand me a Kleenex? It's like, hey, can you hand me some love? All right. Yeah, I got you Jesus. Right? Like, that's your proprietary eponym for Christianity. Now, I have some questions for you. Here we go. Three questions. Number one, how would you define those who are Christian around you? Try not to be judgmental here. Let's try not to be judgmental. But how would you define those who are Christian around you? The Christians that you know. How would you define them? Number two, how would you define Christianity? That's even more vague, but it's a little bit deeper, believe it or not. And then number three, how would you define yourself as a Christian, if you're a Christian? How would you define yourself as a Christian? You like those questions? A lot of asking for definitions of self and self-reflection or reflections on being a Christian here, because we want to prepare you for what's coming. Now, please tell the world of Jesus Christ, tell as many people as you can about Holy Spirit Soapbox. This podcast, we want to continue to reach many people because we want to spread the gospel with you. That is our goal. We just want people to know who God is. So that's what we ask of you today. I also want to pray over everybody and close this out here. If you could take your prayer posture, whatever that looks like, whatever it's bowing or lifting your eyes up or whatever it is, if it's safe to take that posture, let's do that and let's talk to our Creator. Our Father who is in heaven, thank you so much for showing us what love is, because you equal love. You are so holy. You deserve all the worship and praise. We thank you for the ability to see your face, to see your heart in Jesus Christ. And we want to reflect that every single day so that other people who might not know you can know who you are, can know what love actually means, to know that you died for everybody, that you gave us this good news, that you died and you resurrected, you conquered death for everybody, including those that don't believe, so that they should seek you too. We want love to reflect you because you gave us love. We want to think of you every time the word love is even mentioned, and we want to be your vessels for that. We pray that you can use us. Send your spirit to please use us to be these vessels for love. And we pray that you can continue to keep us away from self and temptations of this world, to go back and fall back on our own faith and to fall back on ourselves and pride and all these things that just get in the way of you. We praise you. We worship you. And we thank you. And we pray for everybody that's listening today. In Jesus' name, amen.